Following Jesus Christ is not an easy thing. Following Jesus Christ is not something you can pick up and then set aside when things get too busy or when things get too challenging. Following Jesus is an all-consuming, lifelong commitment. Following Jesus is an all-consuming, lifelong commitment. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 when he states, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price." Abraham Kuyper once asserted, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ does not cry, 'Mine.'" It all belongs to Christ. We belong to Christ. To be a Christian is fundamentally to belong to Christ. And Jesus isn't merely our Savior, but He is also our Lord and our King. There are big implications of this. And we see some of them laid out in this text. If everything belongs to Christ, the things that we possess don't really belong to us. They belong to Him. The truth is, all of your money, all of your possessions belong to God. And we are but His managers, His stewards of these resources. Once we understand this, once we understand that God is the true owner of everything and that we are merely His stewards, it is only then that we can begin to understand His teaching here on the laying up of treasures. Now, before we wade into this passage, it is worth noting the prominent role that money and possessions occupies in the teaching of Jesus. One commentator estimates that 15% of everything that Jesus taught relates to either money and or possessions. And so if I'm preaching through the Gospel of Matthew for all of 2022, 15% of what I preach on will relate in some manner to giving, to money management, to resources. All this to say is that our attitude toward money, our practices around the management of money, is an item of no small significance. Jesus begins in verse 19, and we'll go through it verse by verse. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. There's helpful ambiguity in the word treasure. What you and I treasure will likely differ person to person. One may focus on the acquisition of money. This is the person who's constantly watching their bank balance and their investment portfolio, wanting it to grow and to grow. And this ambition steers the course of their life. Another person is interested in accumulating possessions of great value. It might be a fancy car. It might mean owning a nice boat or having a certain kind of home in a certain kind of neighborhood. Or it might mean all of the above. Still another person is not so much fixed on having things, but they're fixated on acquiring certain credentials or achievements or awards or recognition from others. Still others fixate on making sure that their children achieve certain things. We want them to get into a prestigious school. We want them to be awarded a scholarship. And we want them, when they graduate, to have a high-paying, meaningful job. These things seem to have great importance and value now. And yet none of these earthly acquisitions, none of these achievements, none of them endure to the kingdom of heaven. They have an expiry date. And this is why Jesus says to his followers, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And he goes on to provide reasons for this. He says, moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Our earthly treasures will not last. They're temporary. I can't read this passage. I know it's a small thing in many ways, but I can't read this passage without thinking about the time that our car was stolen from our driveway a few years ago. Indeed, thieves break in and steal. But the lesson we learn when things are taken from us, when resources slip through our fingers, as it were, what we learn is this. Our earthly treasures, when they're taken from us, cause us to lean in greater dependence upon God who gave them in the first place. No matter what steps we take, you know, when my car was stolen from the driveway, you know, we put a gate across the driveway. You know, things you lose, you increase the security measures, don't you? You take out insurance, and yet none of those steps will cause our earthly items to last to the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing I can do to make my money and my possessions make it into heaven. So Jesus gives an alternative. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break and steal. First, I want you to see here, Jesus wants you to lay up treasures. But we got to get the right kind of treasures here. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven or for heaven. And he begins with a very practical reason when he exhorts us to lay up treasures in heaven. It's because thieves can't get at them there. The elements of nature cannot degrade the treasures we lay up in heaven or for heaven. There's practical reasons for doing this. There's also personal reasons for doing this. Jesus gives a personal reason for laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus says that our attitude towards treasures steers the course of our heart. Our attitude towards treasures steers the course of our heart. Look at what he says in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's like we lead with our treasures and our hearts follow. And there's a downside to that. Because the allure of worldly possessions and achievements can be so strong that it can grip our heart and impair our capacity to love God as we ought. It can lead us astray. And this is a real threat. And I don't want to pretend that I'm immune to this threat. I've felt this. I've experienced this. I've been able to observe in my own life that where I put my treasures, I could sense my heart coming along behind. That there's a consequence to caring about earthly treasures. Maybe you've experienced this too. Then Jesus introduces a metaphor in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. He says, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. By the way, if Dr. Fenshear is listening, that's one of the lessons I learned from him when I got my eyes examined. He said, oh, your eyes, you know, you can't see very well, but your eyes are very healthy. And he says, your eye health is indicative of your body health. And that's what Jesus said a long time ago. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So what's Jesus doing here other than mixing metaphors? He's connecting spiritual health with vision. He's connecting spiritual health with vision. The suggestion is, if you are spiritually healthy, it is only when you are spiritually healthy that you will be able to see clearly, in the respect that you'll know the relative value of earthly treasures and the eternal value of heavenly treasures. If you're not spiritually well, you're going to overvalue some things and you're going to undervalue some things. So our vision, our spiritual health is very important. If we're not regularly ingesting the Scripture, if you're not thinking biblically through certain circumstances, you will lack the ability to see clearly, and you won't give the right value to earthly possessions, and you won't give the right value to heavenly possessions. An illustration that comes to my mind, and maybe you've had this experience too. This happens to me all the time now. I don't know if it's, again, my eyesight or my age or a combination. But regularly, when I go to the United States and I go to make a cash purchase, with great regularity, I pull out Bahamian coins and try to include that in my... I'm not trying to do it. I'm not trying to swindle the cashier. It's just that I don't always wear my glasses. I don't often wear my glasses. And when I don't wear my glasses, I don't see clearly. And so the coins in my pocket, if it's not the 10-cent Bahamian coin, if it's a quarter, or if it's a nickel, I really don't know if it has value in the U.S. or not. So what happens is I'm in the United States, and I'm carrying around in my pocket something that has value in another country. Something that has value in another place, but it has no value in the United States. In the same way, if you're not thinking biblically, you will not be able to see clearly. And when you don't see clearly, you will assign value to things that have no value in heaven. And you will undervalue things that are heavenly treasures. Jesus then concludes the section in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. To quote John Piper, he says, laying up treasures in heaven and laying up treasures on earth are not good bedfellows. You have to choose between them. John Piper goes on to say there's something about God and something about money that makes them tend toward mastery. Either you are mastered by money and therefore ignore God, or make him a bellhop for your business, or you are mastered by God and then make money a servant of the kingdom. I love Piper's perspective on this. We've seen this, haven't we? Maybe we've done this. If money is our master, God simply becomes a means for getting more. We see this in the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, which is prevalent in this country. The idea is that we give with a view to God giving more back. That there's a formula or there's a mechanism where God is simply a means to get the promotion, a means to get more money, a means to get more possessions. He becomes to us like a bellhop, a concierge. However, if God is our master, money becomes a servant. a servant to advance the purposes of the kingdom of God. If Jesus is our Lord, money becomes one of the mechanisms that we leverage to bring Him glory. By the way, I want to be clear about something if you're wondering it. The Christian is not being called to a life of poverty. The Christian is not being called to a life of poverty. There's nothing wrong with acquiring earthly treasures and acquiring earthly resources. Nothing wrong with it. The key issue relates to your attitude toward those earthly treasures and what you ultimately do with them. Let me frame it this way. Do you view your earthly treasures as your own? And therefore, believing your earthly treasures are your own, do you hold on to them and do you lay them up? Or do you see every resource as belonging to God? And because your resources or the ones in your possession belong to God, you actively disperse them and leverage them for His kingdom and for His glory. Which is it for you? Pastor Randy Alcorn rightly says, Jesus wants us to store up treasures. He's just telling us to stop storing them in the wrong place and to start storing them in the right place. Alcorn goes on to say, anything we try to hang on to here will be lost. But anything we put in God's hands will be ours for eternity. I don't know how well you're tracking with me. I thought of this analogy or illustration a few days ago, and I hope this helps and doesn't confuse. I want you to imagine with me a hypothetical scenario. A hypothetical scenario. Here's the scenario. That it is the law of the land that the minute you die, all of your resources become the possession of the government. So there's no wills, there's no will and testament of last things. The minute you die, everything you own, every penny, every resource, every possession goes to the government. If that were true, how would it affect the way you lived now? First of all, I think it would keep us from wanting to accumulate a whole bunch of things. Knowing that we can't keep them or even that we can't keep them beyond our death, I don't think we would gain as much resources as we do. And if we did accumulate, let's just say in this scenario we did. We accumulated a whole bunch of possessions, pieces of land, investments, stocks, Bitcoin, we just piled it in. If when we died it all went to the government, what would we do? To the best of our understanding of our lifespan, we would strategically start to give things away, wouldn't we? We wouldn't do it all at once because we have some obligations here and now, but over the course of our life, we would make sure that there was such regular disbursements so that by the time of our death, to the degree that we could predict that, we would have nothing anyway. Why do I give you that hypothetical, unrealistic scenario? Because I think it's very close to what Jesus is saying here. I think it's very close to what Jesus is saying here. I want you to think of all your earthly treasures as a currency. And I want you to think of heavenly treasures as a currency. And so while we live here on earth, we need a certain amount of earthly treasures, don't we? We need a certain amount of this currency because we want to buy food and clothing, have appropriate shelter, access particular services, and so on. We need earthly treasures, at least a certain amount of them, while we're here on earth. But since our eternal home is in heaven, because our citizenship is in heaven, wouldn't it be the wisest thing to convert as much of our currency as possible before we die? Here's the plainest way I can say this. The easiest way to not lay up earthly treasures is to give them away. The easiest way to not lay up earthly treasures is to give them away in Jesus' name, for His sake, for His purposes, for His kingdom. And I know there's some wrestling that we have to do here. I get that. We're going to ask questions like, well, how much of the earthly currency do I need? I mean, I need some of these earthly treasures to look after my needs and the needs of those whom I love. I need some of this currency. But how much? And then we may ask, at what pace do I disperse my resources for the ministry of Christ and for the benefit of others? Because if I do it all now, then someone's going to have to look after me. So there's a pacing exercise that needs to be discerned. We don't give everything away now. Think of it. If you were taking a trip, let's say to Tokyo, Japan, you would not convert 90% of what you owned into yen, into their currency. And then when you got to Tokyo, Japan, if it was a month-long trip, you wouldn't spend all the yen in the first week, would you? You'd pace it out. We're going to wrestle with this. Here's another thing that I think Christians struggle with, or maybe they don't struggle with it, and this is the problem. How long do we hold on to our stuff for? I mean, we have a house now. Maybe we have more than one house. How long do we need that? We have a certain amount of wealth now. Do we need it all 10 years from now? Do we need that much 20 years from now? And then here's another last question I'll put to you. We need to think through what disbursement best represents laying up treasures in heaven. I mean, we don't want to give away resources for the sake of giving away resources. We are stewards, we are managers, and God wants us to be wise with how we disperse and to whom we disperse. So it's not willy-nilly, let's just pass out money and resources and stock options to everyone. But we're discerning. We're prayerful about what and to whom. Why does Jesus talk about money and possession so much? Here's the question I think we really need to face this morning. What has your heart? Whom has your heart? Because that's the real issue here, isn't it? It's not how much we possess or how little we possess. That's not the big issue here. It's what has your heart? Whom has your heart? Jesus says we can trace the location of our heart by looking at what we spend our treasures on. In other words, the answer to what or who has my heart is closely connected to what we've spent our money on, to what we care about. Randy Alcorn, in his great book, The Treasure Principle, puts it this way, and this is striking to me. He says, what we do with our money doesn't simply indicate where our hearts are. According to Jesus, it determines where our hearts go. Friends, that's the part that gets me. Not that I'm unmoved by the first thing, that the money is a diagnostic, as it were, to where my heart is. But what's striking to me is that where my treasure is, that is where my heart will go. Jesus says our hearts follow our treasures. Let me compare that with something. As I think of treasures, things we value, things we care about, I very often hear people give a statement that sounds wonderful. And it's a statement that says this: family is everything. I hear that all the time. Family is everything. And I get that family is massively important. Family is massively important to me. But let's think about that statement. Family is everything. Give me a Bible verse for that. There isn't one. But I will tell you what is in the Bible. I will tell you about a theme that marks the Bible from the very beginning to the very end, and it is this: Jesus is everything. Christ is supreme. We may love family, but only Christ is head over all. Jesus is everything, and He ought to be everything to you, and He ought to be everything to me. And so when we disperse treasures in Jesus' name, when we lay up treasures for heaven, we do this not simply to demonstrate our love for Jesus, but we do it to enhance our love for Jesus. Because our heart follows our treasure. Friends, we've sung some great hymns this morning on this subject matter, but I don't know that there's one better or a verse better than the third verse of "Be Thou My Vision," which we'll sing in a few minutes. "Be Thou My Vision, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, Thou and always, Thou and Thou only, first in my heart, High King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art." That's it. For the Christian, this is the governing principle for our life. Jesus Christ, first in my heart. Jesus Christ, my great treasure, Thou art. Amen.